Listen to the epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Verse 5. This is how Paul preached the gospel at Thessalonica. Neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of man sought we glory, neither of thee, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Interesting to notice the other figure that he uses here, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children. And in each case, it's a nurse cherishing her own children. And it's a father teaching his own children. Now let us turn back, please, to Genesis chapter 24. The 24th chapter of Genesis, that we all know so very well. Now we'll read at verse 59. This is just a reading verse here. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his man. Chapter 35 of Genesis, verse 8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alan Fetcha, which means the oak of weeping. And I think that you will find she was a very old woman when she died. If I remember right, about 180 years of age when she died in the camp of Jacob. Now, Exodus chapter 2. Book of Exodus chapter 2, you all know this very well, but we read it verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I grew him out of the water. Now this time, in the little book of Ruth, chapter 4, where we were reading this morning, in the Bible, little book of Ruth, chapter 4, at the birth of Obed, to Ruth, we read about his grandmother-in-law. Not even his grandmother, but his grandmother-in-law. And of her, verse 15, they said, he shall be unto thee, chapter 4, he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and he called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, 2 Samuel, for our reading here, I know I'm reading quite a few pages, 2 Samuel 4, and verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. And then we learn why. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. One final reading in the second book of Kings, chapter 11. Second Kings chapter 11. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him and his nurse, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of these very, perhaps unusual scriptures to read in a ministry meeting. But I'm going to say something very simple and very practical and plain and easily understood. I've been thinking a great deal recently about the subject of nursing young believers and nursing believers that may be spiritually sick back to their health again. It's a most interesting subject. There are many people in the world around us and they have never made any development physically. They are dwarfed and suffer various diseases that can be traced to poor nursing at the beginning of their lives. And there are others and they have serious surgery, but they don't seem to recover because of a poor nursing condition following the operation. And so in the physical world, the importance of nursing and the nursing profession, which is a very honorable profession. And we seek to value those who have a care for others, for the aged, and for the young. There are two classes of people that need particular attention from nurses, those who are newly born and those who are nearing the end of their journey. Now, what is true in the physical realm obtains in the things of God, in the spiritual realm. And I have long believed that this is a subject that we need to hear in the assemblies, the thought of nursing fellow believers, where there are many young believers that come from homes where they know nothing about the gospel, and where everything is strange to them when they come to the assembly, and they need the special attention of nurses. And then there are others, and they are weak and sickly, and they need special attention. And so this is the subject that I had thought about. Now it's a very scriptural subject, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul used the figure concerning himself. It's one of the most tender, compassionate expressions that an evangelist or a teacher could use of himself. I was gentle among you as a nurse. The word here is a nursing mother. A nursing mother cherisheth her own children. He could be stern like a father teaching his own sons, who is also the father of these Thessalonians. But he was like a mother with tender love I was gentle among you as a nursing mother, cherishing her own children. And so we need those amongst us who would have compassion and would be gentle as a nursing mother would cherish her own children. Now in thinking therefore of this wonderful subject of nursing, and that Paul would liken himself to a nurse, my mind went back into the Bible, and I began to think of the nurses of the Bible. I've no doubt that Paul did that. He was a man that knew the scriptures, and if he used the expression, I was gentle among you as a nurse, he would have us think of nursing in the scriptures. And my mind went back to these different cases that I read, where we have nurses. And of them I will speak for a few minutes, having regard to other brethren who are with us today. Now, the first nurse I'm going to speak about is the steadfast nurse, or if you like, the old nurse, Deborah. We don't often hear about her too much, this Deborah, who came with Rebecca through the desert. Whenever she made her choice to go to Isaac, we always hear emphasis upon the elder servant of Abraham, who won her heart, the picture of the Holy Spirit, and he came alongside, like the comforter of John 14, and he went with her all the way through the desert, and the storms of the desert. On one side of her camel was the elder servant, who was always there. But then there was another person that went with her, her nurse. The nurse went with her along the way. And what lessons that nurse would teach her as she nursed her out into new conditions, and as homesickness might befall her, and thoughts of where she was leaving and where she was going. And here was a nurse, Deborah, that went with her along the way. Then in Genesis 35, we have a very touching scene. And it is often baffled commentators what Deborah was doing with Jacob at this late hour. Rebecca is long since gone, and yet Deborah is still with Jacob. And at this time, she's an old servant of the family. I remember years ago in Ireland, in a farm where I stayed, there was a very, very old woman that was there. And she had been a nurse to the man that owned the place and had nursed his children. And she was of a great age. And they just treated her like one of the family, this nurse. And you know, that's what it is here. Jacob was greatly attached to Deborah. And he thought of his mother Rebecca and his father Isaac and the old days when this nurse had come with her all the way through the desert. And the old nurse died. The time came when she died at a great age. And although she was only a nurse and this was a menial place to hold, she was buried with great honors under the oak at Alan Beckett, which means the oak of the weeping. And they mourned the death of this old nurse. Now, my mind goes back to when I was first saved, and there were brethren and sisters that had a heart for young Christians. And they nursed us through the difficult years, the first year of a Christian life, of any young man or woman's Christian life, can be a difficult time. And there were those nurses. And you know, I look back and remember that they're long since gone. And we feel weaker as godly men, shepherdly men, and those who were nurses in the assembly as they passed home to be with Christ, which is far better. And the assemblies are in great need of those who will have a compassion and an interest in young Christians, new believers, and on those who are weak and have difficulty along their way. All Christians are not strong Christians. There are many Christians that have problems and are weak, and they need a nurse to come and assist them along the road. And the old nurses that we knew, many of them, have fallen asleep. And so I have always thought of this nurse as the steadfast nurse that was faithful to the very end of her life. But now let us look at the next nurse for a moment. And this is Jochebed. This is one of the chapters in the Bible that has always fascinated me. The birth of this child, this nameless child. I've never been able to discover why it was that Jochebed and Amram didn't give their child a name. They saw he was a goodly child. They saw that he was a child for God by faith. But they gave him no name. That was one of the most important things among the Hebrews, to give a name to their child. And yet, he's a nameless child when he was placed in the ark. And for a good time afterward, he has no name. It was only when he was finally brought to the court of Pharaoh that Pharaoh's daughter gave him that beautiful name that is unique in the Bible, Moses, an Egyptian name, because I drew him from the waters. When Pharaoh gave Joseph an Egyptian name, it didn't stick to him, Zaphnath-Paaneah. He just called him Joseph. But Moses got an Egyptian name that he bears forever. There's only one Moses in the Bible. A unique character, one of the greatest in the Old Testament. But when he was born, his mother had a deep concern for him. And she sought to hide him from the soldiers, and when she could no longer hide him, she made for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with grinding with pitch. I have often been entranced with Jochebed preparing that little ark to put her child in the ark. It's interesting, is it not, that the book of Genesis opens with God giving directions how to shelter his people, to Noah, make an ark of gopher wood, and it was to be pitched within and without with pitch. And here is a woman by faith, and she follows the example of God. If God was able to preserve from the awful flood waters 8 persons in an ark, then this woman will make a little ark to preserve the one that she believed would become the deliverer of Israel. And so she made her ark. And she put the child in the ark. And then she did a very unusual thing. She placed the ark in what we would have called the most dangerous position. Because the river is the place where the firstborn were cast to the crocodiles. And another thing about the place where she put them was a place along the river. That was the very place where the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, where she was wont to bathe. She came down at a regular time to bathe in the river at that particular place. It's been thought by some commentators that it was a place in the river where there were no crocodiles, where she bathed. And the mother put the child in the very place where the princess would come. By faith that she laid that ark there. And when she had put the ark there, knowing that it would be the place where the princess would come, she went back to her tent. Miriam watched among the bulrushes to see what would take place. I have written over that the words of the Savior illustrated in John 20. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Miriam would see to believe, but Jochebed would go home and leave her burden with the Lord on that particular occasion. We need to do that sometimes with our loved ones and with our burdens, leave them with the Lord. She knew that the princess was a compassionate person. It's a beautiful gospel picture, too, that salvation came from the place where judgment was passed. The king had passed the judgment, but out of that palace came the Savior. down to where Moses was. And many beautiful pictures. But when she saw the tear in his eyes, she knew the compassion. She lifted the babe, that's one of the Hebrews, and often said the tear of a baby altered the destiny of nations. A compassionate woman. And then Miriam ran and said, "Shall I bring a nurse?" And the whole point of me reading this is, of course, to show that those who are competent to nurse are those who have had the birth pangs and have the exercise to see the child born. Even Solomon could recognize a mother when he brought the sword to divide the child. It was evident the one that had the mother's heart would be very slow to divide and assemble if they had first pains to see it planted. And when it comes to the nursing of believers, those of us who have prayed and labored to see a soul saved, whether it be a mother or an evangelist or whatever it may be, we prayed. Somebody had to pray or we wouldn't have been here. Someone prayed. And when a person is an exercise in prayer to see a soul saved, when that soul is saved, we have an exercise to nurse them and to see them grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have written over this beautiful word, the nursing mother of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because Jochebed was a nursing mother and she nursed the child. May the Lord grant that we may have a heart to nurse the child. I have called this suitability. The first nurse is steadfast, but the second nurse is suitable. Now let us look at the third one for a moment, this lovely book of Ruth, we are having in the Bible reading for the last number of Lord's days, tracing the path of Ruth, a stranger and a gleaner, and a supplicant, and a bride. And then finally, she becomes the mother of Obed. Naomi was the grandmother-in-law. She might have said, "I have no interest in Ruth's child." But we read those lovely words that Naomi took the child to her bosom. And I have written over that warm-heartedness or soft-heartedness toward the child. A child born needs attention, unlike many of the creatures that God has created. A newborn child will die without attention. And in the spiritual realm, when a person is born again, they need to be tenderly cared for. And they need warm-heartedness. Take them to your bosom. That young believer, did you know? But problems at home, no help in their own house, because all the ones that are coming amongst us are not the Christian children. In fact, it's one of the sad things that we meet with, that those who know the story best seem to be turning it down. And strangers that never heard are coming and hearing the gospel today, and in many places trusting Christ. And when they come into a New Testament company of the Lord's people, it's a strange place for them. Will we take them to our bosom? Will we be warm-hearted towards them? The world will not be warm-hearted to them. May the Lord grant that we might have a warm heart for new believers. And for believers that are suffering, there are many believers with burdens today as we move around. Every place, people have burdens and problems and difficulties and sadness and trauma and tears. And when we go to the assembly, we're hurt as well. And there's nobody to say a kind word of sympathy. I've always asked the Lord, whatever other failures I might have, that I might have a tender heart for those who suffer. I might have a little compassion for those that have got a burden along this journey of life. I love the words of Isaiah chapter 40 concerning the Lord Jesus. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. And the word there is a ewe that's carrying her young. It's not one that was born or young, but it's a ewe. And those heavy ewes in Palestine, when they're carrying their young, it becomes a burden to them even to walk along the mountain path. And the shepherd gently leads those that are with young, or those that have a burden. You got a burden? The burden of life, the burden of difficulties, and different problems that arise, and the burden of sickness and tears. I was in with Brother McDonald a couple of days ago. His burden was his son's young, through the Sunday school in Richmond. And today's an alcoholic, I'm afraid. But he was at the meeting the other night, and he lingered there, and I spoke to him for a while, and his father stood there in tears. But tomorrow he's going to a serious surgery, but he may not come through. There's only a 30% chance of recovery. And he's crying his priest thumbs up, and his son Jack. I make the same. The man has got a burden. And you know, I was touched as I felt his bedside. He saw the anxiety he was in, not about himself, but about his two sons and a burden. And I thought of those words he gently leads. Those that have a burden. You got a burden? They're all a burden. She took the child to her bosom. It's a lovely thing. In 2 Kings 11, it's a hidden nurse behind the scenes. You know that that's the almost the extermination of the royal seed. In fact, if memory serves me right, the line of the royal seed was reduced to one. And it seemed as though there would be no king in the line of David. But Jehosheba, who was also the wife of Jehoiada the priest at that time, she took this one child, and she hid the child in the house of God for 6 years, and became a nurse to it. She nursed the child behind the scenes. You know, there's some people, and we need to nurse them behind the scenes. We need to visit them, and read and pray with them. We need to nurse them gently along the way. And after the hidden nursing period, there came a day when Joash was brought out in the 7th year, whatever dispensational meaning they gave it. It was a great day for the nurse when she saw the brethren place the testimony in his hand. He became a ruler. He never would have become a ruler if he hadn't had that hidden nurse that cared for him. I look back to brethren when I was first saved, when I was young, and many rough edges, men that took me aside and advised me and nursed me and taught me these precious truths that I love today and practice. To thank God for hidden nurses along the way. I was thinking of our sister McCollum's dad, James McCormick, when I was first saved, how he was one of those hidden nurses that often spoke to me. He said, "Harold, I would like to help you that in a day to come when I would be in heaven, you could be a help to the Lord's people along the journey of life." Hidden nurses. I read of another nurse carrying a precious burden of responsibility. And she failed in her nursing duty. She stumbled and fell and dropped the newborn child or the 5-year-old child. And he never got over the careless nursing. He was lame on both his feet the rest of his life. We could damage a young Christian. We could let them down.
they could fail, and they might never get over. Oh, may the Lord help us that we might be faithful nurses.